Lecture 5, Jewish Worship, Prayer, and the Synagogue.
In our earlier lectures, we addressed Judaism from a historical, from a conceptual perspective. Beginning with this lecture, we will set out to describe the numerous ways through which Judaism manifests itself in the daily lives of its adherents. So we're really going down into the field, beginning with this lecture. Our aim will be twofold: to provide a historical context for understanding the unique development of the institutions and practices of Judaism, but at the same time, we will address contemporary religious behavior and frameworks, that is to say, how Judaism is practiced today. And the goal is to provide us with an understanding of, as I said, the daily and periodic practices of Judaism, the way the religion affects its practitioners in a modern context. This lecture will address the emergence of prayer as a major means of religious behavior, expression. We will note that prayer is removed from its biblical precursor, the offering of animal sacrifices. And so the questions we will ask are, what do Jewish prayers contain? When are they conducted? In what language are they recited? Are these texts fixed, or are they constantly being changed, updated? Can prayers only be recited in synagogues? And this will lead us to an examination of the nature of the institution of synagogue. When did it begin? What are the physical designs? Are there requisite physical designs for a synagogue? How does a synagogue operate today? And so, let's begin with the issue of prayer. Turning to God in the Bible, in moments of need, what we call praying, definitely appears already, as I said, in the Bible. It was performed by private individuals as well as public figures. But prayer was not the standard means of worshiping God in the Hebrew Bible. There were, though, beautiful examples of private people praying. At the beginning of the book of Samuel, there is the story of a woman, Hannah, the barren wife of a man called Elkanah, who prays at Shiloh for a child. She prays silently in her heart, and the scripture says she was weeping all the while, only her lips moved. Her voice could not be heard. And this was apparently not that common a scene. And so the high priest Eli, who sees her, assumes that she was drunk. Individuals in the Bible turn to God, either requesting that they be cured of an illness, or that someone close to them be cured, healed. One of the earliest and most succinct prayers in biblical literature is the prayer of Moses on behalf of his sister Miriam. And it's all of 4 or 5 words. Oh God, pray, heal her. One of the first great public scenes of prayer in the Bible takes place as the Temple of Solomon, the first Jewish temple, was completed. He gathers all of the congregation of Israel to the site, and then Solomon acknowledges that he knows that God does not really dwell in this building. For he says, even the heavens, to their utmost reaches, cannot contain you. But he knows that from this point onwards, the people will pray to God as they turn towards that place, meaning the temple. He knows that this will happen at particular times, in time of war, of drought, of a plague, maybe even in captivity. What is interesting is that although Solomon prayed and knew that in the future people would direct their prayers to the temple, that story ends with Solomon himself offering up 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep as sacrifices of well-being to the Lord. In other words, the story stresses prayer is all well and good, but we know how to worship. We sacrifice animals. And as long as the first and the second Jewish temples stood, prayer never displaced sacrifice as the primary mode of public worship. However,